Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the book of Yehoshua. We are learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are up to Perek Chaf Dalet, chapter 24 of the book of Yehoshua. And I can now tell you that after thinking for a couple of days and after the poll, thank you very much for that, I believe I'm going to move on to still continuing daily recordings, and it will be Megillas Esther. We will be learning Esther till Purim. Okay, we won't finish Esther before Purim, but we'll get some learning in about Esther. We'll see exactly how that will work. But for now, Yehoshua Perek Chaf Dalet, chapter 24, the exciting conclusion to the book. This is Yehoshua's second last speech. We saw the first last speech that he gave to the nation already in chapter 23. So here we're going to see Hashem's kindness to the Jews be, before, meaning before the Jews came into the land as a nation. Then we'll see Hashem's kindness to the Jews after they enter the land as a nation. And then a national covenant, the national bris with Hashem, followed by an epilogue. And questions to think about as we start this chapter really are three. Number one, what would you expect Yehoshua's last words to be? Interestingly, he does not speak personally. He does not make this about him. Number two, how does this major transition moment fit into the events and themes of Jewish history overall? And I hope to show four different ways in which this moment fits in and invokes themes that are broader. And what is the leadership plan for after Yehoshua dies? Where are things supposed to go now? Moshe had this elaborate establishment of Yehoshua. What happens now? So we begin, sentence one, with an introduction. Vayesof Yehoshua es kol shivtei Yisrael Shechema. Yehoshua gathered all of the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Vayikra lezikne Yisrael ulrashav ulshoftav ulshotrav vayisyatzvu lifneho Elokim. And he summoned all the elders of Israel, the leaders, the shoftim, the shotrim, and they stood before God. So this is really interesting, to me anyway, on a couple of levels. First of all, you already did this. You had your last speech. You already said you were elderly. It's not like time has elapsed. Why a second gathering? Both gatherings seem to address the entire nation as well as its leaders. So that's not, there's no difference, I think, in the audience. Radak or Albag just say, yeah, it's reinforcement. It worked last time, or it, I don't know, didn't work, but it was a good experience the first time, so let's do it again. Abarbanel is a little different. Abarbanel says what was missing in chapter 23 was a national response to Yehoshua. Lefisha amlo heshivuhu davar alav lo niskara daito. Or alav lo niskara daito. Because the nation didn't answer, Yehoshua was not satisfied. So Yehoshua said, I'm going to try again. I'm going to try to educate them a second time. But this time, I'm going to ask them questions as opposed to just talking at them. So that they'll need to respond. Explaining what is in their hearts. And then they will strengthen themselves. They'll make a covenant. So what Yehoshua is looking to do, as Abarbanel understands, is to invoke a response from the nation, which he did not get the first time out. That was my first question. Why are we doing this again? Second question is the location. Right? Previous one was in Timnat Cheres. That was at least the way that Mikra read it. It certainly did not say anything in the text about it. But I would have thought that you're supposed to do it in Shiloh. Right? Shouldn't a gathering like this, a national covenant with Hashem, take place at the Mishkan? So I think here is the first place where we are invoking the events and themes of Jewish history. Shechem is a loaded location in our past. And you could just say it's convenience. It's near Yehoshua. It's a major city. It's an Ir Miklat, a city of refuge. It's a city of Levium. You could have just answered that way. But look at the history here. And that's a point that Radak makes. Shechem is the first place where Avraham stayed when he entered into the land of Israel, Lech Lecha, Ad Mekom Shechem. So that's number one. Number two, it's the place where Hashem performed a miracle for Yaakov and saved him and his children from the other nations after Shimon and Levi destroyed Shechem, so Hashem protected them. Of course, it's also a terrible place, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but that's not what Radak invokes. And then the third point Radak invokes is that this is the first place where Yaakov purchased land in the land of Canaan. Vayikenes chalkas hasadet. Yaakov purchased land in Shechem from Hamor before the rape of Dinah. So Radak says this is a place with a lot of history for the Jews, and he wants to anchor them in Jewish history. Definitely a possibility. Another element that Radak mentions, and Barbanel mentions it as well, is that after the destruction of Shechem, Yaakov tells his kids to get rid of any idolatry they took in Shechem. And this is a message that Yehoshua invokes here as well. He says, hey, get rid of any avodah zarah, get rid of any idolatry, any idolatrous influence that you have from the nations around you. So you have that message as well. Right? Why did Yaakov's kids take idolatry from Shechem in the first place? It was among the spoils of war, but you could also argue it fits a theme in Tanakh in which the victor takes the idols of the defeated party in order to demonstrate my God is greater than your God. Something that happens to the Jews, and the Jews do to others at different times in Tanakh. So maybe that was what was going on there. But that's another possibility for what's going on. So it could just be it's a good convenient place, it's near Yehoshua and it's a major city. It could be because of the history that it invokes. Note that Radak in saying that did not invoke the story of Dinah, which I find interesting. The message piece of it, Yaakov said in Shechem, get rid of your avodah zarah. Another element of it, which Professor Kiel in the Dot Mikra notes, is that it's next to Har Grizim, Har Eval, with the covenant that the Jews made with Hashem earlier in this book. Another event that's actually missing here that Radak does not invoke is the sale of Yosef, right? That's also involved here, but okay, not mentioned. In any case, this is a very key and important gathering for the Jews. It is not taking place in Shiloh. It is not taking place in Yehoshua's home. It is taking place in Shechem. Vayomer Yehoshua kol ha'am. And then Yehoshua says to the nation, sentences which hopefully are somewhat familiar. Yehoshua says to the nation, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. So says Hashem, God of Israel. Be'ever hanahar yashvu avoseichem me'olam. Your ancestors lived historically by the side of the river. River here being the Arden. The Euphrates. Terach avi Avram vavi Nachor. Terach, the father of Avram, the father of Nachor, vayavdu Elohim acherim, and they worshipped the gods of others. They worshipped foreign gods. This should sound familiar because it's in our Haggadah. Yeshua tells the Jews, your ancestors were idolaters. V'akachas avichem es Avraham me'ever hanahar. And I took your father Avraham from beside the river. V'olech oso b'chol Eretz Kenan. And I walked him all around Eretz Kenan. V'arbe es zaro v'atein lo es Yitzchak. And I gave him many kids. I gave him Yitzchak. V'atein li Yitzchak es Yaakov v'es Esav. I gave Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Esav. V'atein li Esav es har Seir l'reshes oso v'yaakov v'anav yordu Mitzrayim. I gave Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Esav. I gave Esav Har Seir, and I gave Yaakov and his kids. And Yaakov and his kids descended to Egypt. So, a lot to talk about here. Yeshua is going to be recapping Jewish history. So we have to know which events are mentioned and which ones are omitted. Lech Lecha is here. Akedah. The second thing here is that's very important to note is that Jewish history is portrayed as a series of events that Hashem creates, right? Hashem says va'ekach, va'etein. I took one from here, I moved him there, I gave him this, right? And not only that, the word va'etein is going to be here a lot. First, va'etein, I gave Yitzchak to Abraham. I gave Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Esav, and then the land as well. Vo'etein le'Esav es har Seir le'reshes oso. I gave Esav har Seir. In sentence 13, he's going to talk about vo'etein lochem eretz. I gave you a land. Also, when it talks about military victory, sentence 8, sentence 11, vo'etein, and I gave. And in general, all the verbs here are first person about what Hashem has done. And that's really the second way that we invoke a theme of Jewish history. It's the divine hand running the show. So Hashem declares, so declares Hashem, God of Israel, your ancestors were idolaters. Now, how do we know Terach was idolatrous other than here? Right, we learn the Midrashim about Terach, but we don't actually have anything in the Psukim in Bereishis that indicate that Terach is an idolater at all. We know Lavan has some kind of idolatry, we think. Some of the language there is a little bit unclear regarding the Lavan, but something. Regarding Terach, we don't actually know that. This seems to be the first place we learn that Terach was an idolater. I want to come back to that a little bit later. There's a lot more to talk about here. I'm just going to pick up on one more point and then continue, God willing, tomorrow. And that is Yishmael's not in the picture. Right? We don't mention Yishmael. Why did you omit Yishmael? So Radak says two possibilities. One, Yishmael's from Hagar. We're talking about Sarah's line. Remember that. Ki bi Yitzchak yikarei l'chazara. Hashem says, through Yitzchak, you will be identified as having descendants. Your descendants are through Yitzchak. But also, I think you could suggest, and Abarbanel says this, that the theme is of miracles in this section, the things that Hashem provided. Yishmael's conception was not via a miracle. That's not around. Whereas Esav, right, just as much as Yaakov, was indeed miraculous. So that's why we're talking about what Hashem gave in a way that was visible. That's why we mention Yaakov and Esav, and that's why we don't mention Yishmael.